the Public News Service Daily Newscast, November the 22nd, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. In just over a week, on November the 29th, state lawmakers will return to Atlanta to decide on Georgia's new congressional voting district maps.
Grassroots organizations focused on voting access are stressing the importance of the process. In October, a federal judge ruled that the state's 2021 maps dilute the voting power of Black residents and violate Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. April Albright with the group Black Voters Matter emphasizes this decision is crucial in promoting equity for often overlooked communities.
Our communities don't get that infrastructure, and we see it in our education, and we see it in our roads, and we see it in economic opportunities.
The judge's ruling calls for lawmakers to create an extra congressional district in West Metro Atlanta. It also calls for two new majority Black Senate districts in South Metro Atlanta, two majority Black House districts in South Metro Atlanta, and two in and around Macon-Bibb. Shantia Hudson reporting.
Census figures show Georgia's population has surged by over 1 million people since 2010, particularly in Cobb, DeKalb, Fulton, and Gwinnett counties. Meantime, from NBC News, a judge Tuesday ordered the bond conditions of Harrison Floyd, one of former President Donald Trump's co-defendants in the Georgia election interference case, to be modified over social media posts that prosecutors from Fulton County said were intentionally flagrant violations. NBC reports the Superior Court judge in the case, Scott McAfee, said the post may have been a technical violation of Floyd's bond, but not every violation compels revocation. The judge signed off on a temporary modified bond order after the hearing, with more explicit restrictions on Floyd's post until the two sides agree on more specific language. And of course, the Thanksgiving holiday is here, as too many Minnesotans still struggle with food insecurity.
This week, Governor Tim Walz announced that $5 million in American Rescue Plan funding is being redirected to hunger relief locations around the state. Leaders say Minnesota is on pace to see more than 7 million visits to food shelves this year, eclipsing last year's record total. Virginia Witherspoon Merritt, with the Channel 1 Regional Food Bank in Rochester, says they're seeing upward trends, too.
These are working people. It's not that they don't have jobs. It's that the wages that they're making with their expenses aren't enough.
Organizations like hers welcome the latest round of state funding, but Merritt says Congress can establish more long-term solutions by bolstering key aid programs within the Farm Bill. Congress couldn't agree on a reauthorization of that policy, so the most recent version was extended until September of 2024. Some Republicans have floated certain program cuts amid their push for tighter federal spending. I'm Mike Moen.
This is Public News Service. Now to Maryland, where a community college is building a pipeline of workers. Through apprenticeships, they're focusing on in-demand careers.
A 2023 manpower survey shows 75% of employers in the U.S. are facing difficulty finding skilled talent, with an estimated 68 workers for every 100 jobs open in the U.S. To address this shortfall, Howard Community College in Columbia has developed an apprenticeship program in 10 fields, including nursing, surgical technology, IT support, biomedical equipment technology, and construction management among them. Mina Wu with HCC says their partnerships with industry will help expand the supply of skilled talent.
Being able to combine the educational piece along with the on-the-job experience that registered apprenticeships bring really allow our students to be ahead of the game, really allow the employers to really grow their workforce and meet the workforce crisis that we're having here in the country.
Beyond the need for employers to find skilled workers, by enabling students to work while they are in school, apprenticeship programs can open doors for students who face financial barriers to attend college. Brett Pivato reporting.
And a coalition of New York environmental groups finds dredging the Hudson River of toxic chemicals has failed.
The report from Friends of a Clean Hudson River finds PCB chemical levels are higher than anticipated. The Environmental Protection Agency dredged the river between 2009 and 2015 for 30 years worth of chemicals General Electric dumped into it. Dredging is typically an effective way to clean pollutants out of a river, but Ned Sullivan with the group Scenic Hudson describes why the EPA's effort was ineffective.
The problem is that EPA struck a deal with GE that was too much in favor of the polluter. They didn't require GE to clean up enough contamination.
I am Edwin J. Vieira.
The EPA has warned against eating fish caught in the river between Troy and Hudson Falls, but some people still do. Finally, our Eric Tadoff lets us know organizations are asking people to join them in a fast on Thanksgiving in solidarity with people suffering from war conditions in Gaza.
Groups including the Council on American-Islamic Relations Oregon and the Movement for Black Lives are calling for a global fast to highlight the dire humanitarian crisis happening in Gaza. JMHE is a Portland-based digital organizer for Freedom to Thrive. She says Thanksgiving Day was chosen for a reason.
That was intentional because we know a lot of people are gathering to celebrate, to feast, and we also want people to experience a slight aspect of deprivation so they can feel a little bit of what Palestinians experience daily in Gaza.
Israel began the assault in response to an attack by Hamas on October 7th that killed about 1,200 people.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on great radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.